Throughout the 66 books of the Bible, the 1185 chapters, the 31,607 verses, there isn't one that says you're a failure. It is time for us to lose the delusional concept and start having vision. Vision comes from changing your environment. Stop the insanity.
For your love offering of $25 or more, receive Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr.'s three-part series titled Stop the Insanity on CD or DVD. To order, call 1-800-650-9435.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
The sinners came to Jesus because they would receive love. You see, if you want condemnation, you go to a Pharisee. If you want to be put down, you go to a Pharisee or a publican. But if you want to receive love, you go to Jesus, who will love you without fault. Doesn't matter what you've done, Jesus will love you. Jesus will forgive you. The Bible said if you confess it with your mouth and believe in your heart, God will save you. Jesus does not argue with the state of the sinner. He does not try to make them feel useless and worthless. He's constantly reaching out to them. He's not into self-help. He's not into feel good. He believes in telling you the truth, but he tells it to you with hope. Jesus never tells you the truth and leaves you to wallow in despair. Jesus tells you that you've sinned, but I'm here to help you. Jesus will tell you that you're sick, but I've come to heal you. And even the woman who did not deserve it doctrinally or nationally, Jesus gave her what she wanted because of her perseverance. Oh, what a heart Jesus has. Jesus doesn't care if you don't have a turned around collar. He doesn't care if you don't have an ecclesiastical title. All you need is to come to him. And he said, if you come to me, I will in no wise cast you out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Jesus attracted sinners. Can you believe it? The Son of God, the most holy individual to ever occupy human flesh, attracted sinners. In the Old Testament, the person of God drove you away. Are you hearing me? The Bible says that in the book of Deuteronomy, when Moses came down off the mountain, the people said, no, we can't even look at you. You are so bright with the presence of God. They told Moses, don't let God speak to us anymore. You talk to us. But now here is the Son of God, God in flesh. God in flesh, attracting sinners. Are you hearing me? What is it about Jesus that attracts you and God repels you? Jesus is God in flesh. You better get that through your mind. There's only one God. He has decided to reveal himself in different personalities. I don't serve three gods. There's only one. I wish I had somebody. But what is the contrast? When you approach God, you fall on your face. You can't even look at him. He's so holy. But when you come to Jesus, you grab his feet. When God shows up, you say, depart from me. You too holy. But when Jesus shows up, you say, don't leave me, Lord. What is it about them? And if they're the same, Jesus is love. So is God. God is love. But you just don't know it because God walked around killing people. Jesus walked around healing people. Herein lies the antithesis of the Godhead. You have the Father who's so holy you can't approach him. He had to build a curtain so that nobody could get to him. Then when he came down as his son, he ripped the curtain so you could get to him. Then when he came down as the Holy Ghost, he got inside of you so he could live inside of you. Must be tough to be God. The God side of you want to kill everybody. The Jesus side of you said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. The Holy Ghost side is saying, y'all come on down to this altar. He's convincing you. You're wrong. Come on down here now. Get here right now while God is in that mode, because there's a time coming when he ain't going to be in that mode. And we're rapidly approaching that. Don't fool yourself. So Luke continues on this great story, and after the Pharisees accused him, Jesus went off into this tangent. He loves doing this. He aggravates everybody because he just goes off. He has no homiletical skills, no hermeneutical skills. He has no sermon abilities. He just talks to you. He starts right in. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, doesn't he leave the 99? In the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it. Until he finds it. Jesus does not suggest that he goes out and looks and comes back empty-handed. Jesus says he stays out there looking until he finds it. Now, some of you can identify with this, but some of you were born saved. So you can't receive what I'm saying. You were born Holy Ghost filled, so you won't be able to say amen to this. But the regular person here, you know your introduction to salvation was just that, an introduction. You didn't know you were elected. You didn't know you were foreordained. You didn't know that God had prognosticized you. You didn't know that. All you heard was the gospel. Then you walked away to continue in your nefarious ways, to continue in your ungodly life. What you did not know. Come here, London. I'm introducing you to Jesus. Jesus loves you. And he says, that's nice to know. Now, just go and walk down the aisle. Now, he walked away, but this was God. Jesus loves you. 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 Until he came back and said, I believe it. Thank you. Jesus says this. What shepherd doesn't go after the sheep until he finds it? And notice, the verb to find suggests that he kept looking. I mean, he looked over here and he wasn't there, and he looked over there and he wasn't there, and he looked over there and he wasn't there. Why did he do that? Why did he look at that sheep? Why? Why did he look for the sheep? Why? Come on. Because it's his. You didn't become gods when you went to the altar. You think when you got saved, that's when you became God. No, you were already written in the book of life. David said, I was in the book before I was born. You see, you better understand what salvation is. That's why he said, everybody can't come. You ever have a party? I know y'all call them fellowships. I'm still, they're parties, okay? Because you ain't in there, well, normal people ain't in there speaking in tongues and fellowshipping. They're having fun. Okay, so what do? You send out what? To whom do you send the invitation? Who you want to be there. See there? See there? Look at the person next to you. Would you invite them to your party? No, you only send out the invitation to whoever you want to be there. Well, that's what salvation is. God only sent out the invitation to those that he wanted, and the ones he wanted, he elected. Now, I know some of you got a problem with this, but Jacob I love and Esau I hate it. Some of you cannot fathom the idea that there are people that God did not elect. They're going to hell. And there's no way out. They cannot be saved. That's why if you're saved, you ought to have a shouting fit. Because, not right now. Because it means that God selected you out of the crowd. God looked in a crowd of sinners and said, I want you and you and you and you and you and you. And you said, God, what about them? He said, I can't help that. Those are the ones I wanted. Now, this doesn't make you better than anybody else, but it ought to make you grateful. It ought to make you grateful. Christ healed 10 lepers. Only one came and said, thank you. Are you the one that comes back and says, thank you for saving me? Thank you for washing me? Thank you for coming after me? Thank you for not giving up on me? Thank you. Once again, Paul tells us there's this falling away, but we need to understand, how does this happen? How do you begin to pull away from God? Jesus starts this great story by talking about this sheep. He said, you go after that sheep, and when you find it, you rejoice. The theme here is lost, found, rejoice. That's why God says when somebody comes home, you ought to rejoice. You shouldn't be jealous. You ought to be, yes, it's good to have you back. Jesus said something about this shepherd. He said, when he finds it, he does not carry it. He does not put a rope around its neck and pulls it. He places it on his shoulders. Now you are thinking that he executes a fireman's carry and just carries him on his shoulders. But the shepherds understood that Jesus was saying when he picks up that sheep, he drapes it over his left shoulder so that his ear is listening to the heart of the shepherd. What caused him to stray was that he was no longer listening to his shepherd's heart. Somebody else had gotten into his ear. Some other sound came into his life and made him stray. So when the shepherd gets him, he puts him right back in that position to hear that heart. And see, when you hear somebody's heart, Maya Angelou used to say that when two people are in love, their hearts beat at the same time. That's what connects them. Listen to your lover's heart. That'll tell you if you ought to be together. He might have heartburn. In Luke 19, he says, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. There are times in Bible when a verse has what we call dual meaning. This is one of those verses. For yes, on the surface, he is talking about people. He has come to seek and save people who are lost. But he also came to seek and save the relationship between God and his people. Jesus knew he would be the bridge to bring God and people together again, because the relationship had been broken not irreparably. It could be repaired by the blood of Jesus. The sins that we committed that alienated us from God can be washed by the blood of Jesus. The haughtiness of spirit, the ungodliness of mind can be fixed by the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So the shepherd brings this young sheep back with him. And he says he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my sheep which was lost." This story is wasted on the Pharisees because they did not want to have any disciples that they themselves did not create. They could not rejoice when someone else's work grew. They were busy trying to build their own work with their own hands. They used personal pronouns such as my people, my ministry, my responsibility. You don't own anything. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, "What do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why are you boasting? It's not your ministry. You are not my people, but I am your pastor. You weren't placed here for me, but I was put here for you. And if you would listen to what I say and do what I tell you to do, your life would be better." I just made some of y'all mad. Who he think he is telling me to listen to him? I follow God. You can't follow God if you don't follow me. Because I'm sent by God. And I got God's message. And God ain't gonna come down and stand in the middle of the floor. He's gonna send me. And I bring you the words of God. My responsibility. And I welcome it. I fight the devil on your behalf. I stand in the gap and make up the hedge. I take your whippings and plead that God won't whip you. I do not shrink from my responsibility. I welcome it. No, I don't come to the hospital to visit you for every little nook and cranny, but I intercede for you because I've learned something that you better grab a hold to. Though Bishop Lambert can't come, God is there. And if I teach you how to get a hold of God, you can talk to him before the anesthetic sets in. And you can talk to him while you're under anesthetic. And you can give him thanks when you come out. You might not reach me, but you can always reach him. He said he would never leave nor forsake you. Lost sheep, come on home. Jesus knew that this story of the lost sheep would touch certain people in that sinner crowd. He wasn't preaching this to the Pharisees. In fact, the text suggests that Jesus ignored the Pharisees. He didn't pay no attention to them. This man eats with sinners and receives them. Jesus said, "Let me tell you about this shepherd." And he was talking to the sinners. He was warming the heart of the people whom God was calling and didn't know they were called. Don't waste your time with religious folk who find a problem with everything you do. They don't like how you interpret scripture. They don't like how you say certain things. And now you're trying to live up to their expectation rather than live up to God's. There are people who put titles on you and they mess with your character and lie on you and tell you you're the cause that certain things aren't being done. Well, I'm here to tell you, you don't have that kind of power. If somebody doesn't want to do something, it ain't because of you. They're using you as an excuse, because if you're serving God, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. It's for God I'll live and for God I'll die. You ain't keeping nobody out of Bible school. You doing what I told you to do. You keep doing what I tell you to do. Folk ain't supposed to understand you. I'm supposed to understand you. They just supposed to obey. Stop fighting with my pastors. Lying on them and criticizing them. Backbiting. Running to people when they say stuff that you don't agree with. I didn't call him because he's popular. I called him because he can get the job done. We argue about stuff that don't even matter. And nobody understands what he's doing. So what? Do what you're supposed to do. Dare suggest to me that people don't register for school because of a person's administrative work that they're doing that I want? What you're telling me is that they're not coming to school because of me. And that dog just don't hunt. Pride goes before destruction. And Bethel, you're better than that. You're a better congregation than to believe the lies of the frustrated. This is not let's make a deal. This is let's follow God. You're not going to get everybody you want in position. And I'm not going to bend to satisfy the capricious desires of people who have no stake in ministry. What you need to understand here is that Jesus says this man goes out to find the sheep. What Jesus does not tell you, but the shepherds knew, that his looking for the sheep was also motivated by economics. Because the Old Testament, Genesis and Exodus, teach us that if the shepherd allowed some sheep to stray away, see, in most cases, the shepherds did not own the flock. They worked for somebody. And if they lost the sheep, they had to pay for it. Y'all don't hear me. Now, you think that's a negative because he's motivated by money. No. It's his job. And he's faithful to his calling. See, we always read this and we think that the shepherd's got all this love and he just go out to get his sheep. Okay, that's part of it. There's a relationship that's kind of weird. You know, they're the original Dr. Doolittle. They go out looking. But he's also motivated by the fact that he could get into trouble with the owner of the flock. And it's okay. That's why Paul says, woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. We're not just standing up here because we love you. We're also up here because we fear God. And it's that fear that makes us preach the gospel. See, when you don't fear God, you teach stuff that's ridiculous. When difficulties come and trials come your way, just smile. That work out in Radnor and Villanova, it don't work in the hood. You got to have some bite with your smile. You got to be able to tell the devil in no uncertain terms that he's not advancing in your life, that his agenda stops today. And it's not stopping because of some hocus pocus that I'm going to use. Satan, I bind you. No. It's stopping because I know who I am. And because I know who I am, I know you can't go but so far. And I know God has drawn a line. You don't think I know it. And I know you can only go so far. And you cannot kill me. Because God isn't finished using me. me move off of that. Bethel. Oh, Bethel. Yeah. He would leave that flock. You see, also, he was motivated by reputation. He knew that if he did not pull that sheep back in, he could be considered a careless shepherd. That's what Moses alludes to when Moses says to God, and God says, Moses, come on, I'm going to kill them all. Moses said, hold it. You don't want the surrounding communities to think you couldn't keep your own sheep. God said, all right, I won't kill them. You see, Moses understood that the shepherd had a reputation. That's why God said, all that are in my hand, nobody can pluck you out. I'm a good shepherd. You ain't good. Nobody, the devil can't take you back. Do you know how secure you are? The limitation of your spiritual excellence is not determined by the devil. It's determined by the words out of your mouth and the thoughts that are in your mind. Lord, help me. You listen, as a man thinketh, so is he. You are what you think, but you will have what you say. Lord, help me. Now, let me tell you something. You become a 45 caliber Christian when you learn how to mix God thoughts with God words. Devil can't do nothing with you when you learn how to mix thoughts and words together. When you learn how to even take a negative thought that he has given you, process it and turn it into a positive one. The devil can't handle Christians who know how to speak the word. Jesus said, you'll have what you say. He is telling us you create an environment for victory by talking a victorious talk. You don't have to be defeated if you don't want to be. You don't have to give in if you don't want to give in. You can rise up and take back everything that's yours. God said, I will restore it, but he didn't say he's going to give it to you. You got to go take it. You got to reach out into the realm of the supernatural and take back your healing. Take back your deliverance. Take back your finances. You got to tell the devil, your day of whipping me is over. You ain't keeping me up all night. Why? Because I was a lost sheep, but now I'm back in the fold. Isn't that amazing? He goes on a hunt. God is hunting. He ain't finished yet. He's still hunting. And when he picks up the last sheep, we out of here. Because there's no reason to stay. So come on, y'all. Get your evangelism on. Get them people saved so we can get out of here. Jesus, having talked to the men and the boys that were in the crowd who probably were shepherds, he knew his audience. He now shifts to the women in the crowd. He talks about the lost coin. He says, what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she finds it? And when she found it, she calls for her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece that I've lost. Likewise, he said, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over the one sinner that repents. It's amazing that the sheep that has strayed has no soul. He can't be convicted. That's why he just keeps going. He doesn't feel in himself, I'm doing wrong. I got to go back. I got to go to the altar Sunday because I had a cigarette Saturday. He doesn't feel that way. He follows instinct. Animals have instinct, no soul. Oh, yes, they can develop what we would call an affection. Your dog and your cat can develop an affection for you, but it's instinctive. Because if you die, they mourn for a little while, and then they just go off with the next person that feeds them. Guy said he had a dog in his house, and people told him, this dog will protect you. He said, yeah, till the burglar comes in with a ham. He said the burglar will throw the ham to the dog, and the dog will say, he in there. Animals will go with whoever takes care of their animal needs. But when Jesus shifts to the woman and the coin, the women understood this parable. They understood because the woman that was about to be married had a headband made of 10 coins. She would tie that band around her head, and it sent a message to the community that she was engaged, betrothed, to be married. Jesus gives the most difficult of circumstances to this woman. He says if she loses one of those coins, then her headband is incomplete. You see, the sheep leaves of his own, we would say will, but he don't have a will. But he leaves of his own instinct because apparently he thinks something is better. But he's alive. But the coin is inanimate. It doesn't stray. It doesn't wander away. It's lost through carelessness. Maybe she picked up the string of coins and popped one of the ropes. Well, maybe she just didn't pay attention to one of the threads that was probably getting thinner, and she thought she could hold on to it a little longer and too lazy to strengthen the thread. You see, maybe you are falling away because of carelessness. Maybe you haven't read the Bible in a month of Sundays. That's 31 days. Maybe you find yourself pulling away from God and frustrated because God isn't doing what you want him to do. Maybe you're careless in your Christian behavior. Maybe you don't even feel like giving God praise because you've rationalized, he doesn't do anything for me. Therefore, I don't need to praise him, and I don't care what that man says. But once again, Jesus throws in this qualifier. Even though she may have lost the coin from carelessness, she doesn't have a cavalier attitude about it. She seeks it. In my mind's eye, I see her moving the sofa, pulling chairs out, digging down into the furniture till she finds that coin to complete the set. Do you know that you and I are destined by God to complete the set? There's nothing worse than putting out a table set and having one spoon a different color than the rest of them. You can have $65,000 china and silver and have one spoon that just doesn't fit, and nobody will pay attention to all your other stuff. All they see is that one spoon. And God help them if they have to sit at the table where that off-color spoon is. They won't pay any attention to anything else. You can serve them veal cordon bleu. You can serve them, you know, vichyssoise. You can serve them all the delicacies of Le Bec Fin. But all they see is that one spoon out of place. You know how you can come in church and God has kept you all week and God has blessed you and delivered you. God has brought your children home safe from the jungle called school. He has kept you from home invasions and delivered you. And you come in church and you are put off by a grumpy greeter. The greeter didn't say good morning to you. Oh, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. And you lose your whole praise and worship. You come into the service. I can't believe that greeter didn't speak to me. Can you believe? Did she speak to you? Did he speak to you? Can you believe that? Just in the course of the service. Can you understand it? I don't even understand this. I went to shake the pastor's hand, and he didn't even shake my hand. I can't believe it. And see, you forgot that for 6 days, God has taken care of you. You are not in ICU. You're here in church. You don't have an oxygen tank. You have not been diagnosed with COPD. You don't have PAB. And the slightest little thing has caused you to miss. You lost your coin. Your set is not complete. Oh, you have your Bible, you thumb through the scriptures with anger till you find the location and you read it with a violent attitude. You're not complete. You're a husband that mistreats his wife. You mistreat her. When you mistreat her, your coin is lost. And as long as you mistreat her, it's going to stay lost. And you keep asking God, why don't you bless me? Why don't you help me? He says, because you're mistreating your wife. You've bound the devil, you've given, you've done everything you can do. It's not coming back to you. Your health is failing. Everything that you can do is not causing any positive result because you're mistreating your wife. You lost your coin. Your set is not complete. And maybe you're mistreating your husband. That's why you might not have joy. That's why you don't feel God. The reason why you don't feel the capital L, Lord, is because you're disrespectful to the small L. All y'all that have to go to the bathroom, go now. We actually think that we can just mistreat others and God is supposed to pour his blessing onto us. We have a scriptural mandate. Husband, love your wife as Christ does the church. Wife, submit to your husband. You think the rule doesn't apply because they don't treat you right. They've got to give an account to God. Pastor, you don't understand. You don't understand the pressure I'm under. I don't need to understand. All I need to understand is that you're a lost coin. You're out of set. There's no joy in your house. And it won't get better because that type of friction opens the door for the devil. You see, God honors the head. Even if the wife isn't doing right, the head is still supposed to be decent. You think that Jesus is supposed to honor that? No. You're a lost coin. You're backsliding. That's why you have no praise, no worship. That's why the anointing can't flow, because home is a wreck. The anointing can't flow because personal relationships are destroyed. The anointing cannot flow because you're hypocritical. You occupy positions in the church. You're a lost coin. The sheep was lost because of his foolishness. He strayed because he didn't have any internal discernment. He just went where the green grass was. And the shepherd saved his life because there's wolves over there. You think every church you go to, the pastor, come on over here. Praise God. If Pastor Lambert don't want to use you, I'll use you. Yeah. Till they use you up. I'm sorry, I'm working through the rest of the song. Amen. Okay, now let's get back to the scripture. The coin was lost through some act of carelessness, or maybe not necessarily carelessness like we know it. It could be what I like to call passive carelessness. Passive carelessness is described in this way. You know that the hem in your skirt or the cuff in your pant, you know that some of the threads are loose, and you just decide not to fix it, but you wear those trousers or you wear that skirt, and then the hem completely falls down, and then you say, how could that happen? That's passive carelessness. You didn't really want it to fall, but you didn't take the necessary steps to ensure that it wouldn't. So Jesus says when she finds that coin, if you understand this particular, these two parables here, he says, when something's out of place, it ain't right. The sheep belong with the flock. You belong in church. The sheep belong with the flock. For some reason, there is this concept that I don't need to be in church all the time. Praise God. Me and God, we got it made. I can rejoice and praise God. I'm going to brunch, and I can worship God on my way to brunch. I'll just listen to the DVD on my way to brunch. I'm going to take my child to the baseball game or the football game on a Sunday. We're the only people who violate our tenets of faith and do silly things like that. I used to live in a neighborhood where there was a Seventh-day Adventist church on the corner, and one of the people who went there, one of the families, his son was a dear friend of mine. And every time on Friday, when we were playing half ball, we were in a real good game. And I mean, we were going until the last inning, and he had to leave because of the Sabbath. He never stayed. He would always go. We would be like, man, can't you just? Because we were heathens. We weren't saved. We were like, can't you just stay? I mean, what's the most that could happen? You just take the beating. We're going to win, man. We need you. He said, I can't. And he would leave so he could go home and take a bath and go to church. We'll just stay out of church on Sunday for any reason. My foot hurt. My arm hurt. I'm hungry. My family came in from out of town. I ain't seen Cousin Rufus in 20 years. I'm going to take him out to eat. They're having a sale at the mall. Whatever it takes to disconnect us. Oh, I just want to take the missus out today. And we're going to spend the day together. Why ain't you do it on Monday? Well, I work on Monday. And you don't call this work? It's the work of worship. If it ain't work, why are you so tired afterwards? I know I am. And so Jesus says the sheep belong with the flock and the coin belongs on the chain. Whenever you're not in your place, there is a sense of abandonment, desperation. You have no joy until you find your place. I am not a proponent of love at first sight, but I am a proponent of real love when it comes. There is a connection of mind, heart, and soul. That is the greatest thing that you will ever, ever experience. Two-thirds of you will never experience it because you are going by the external. But if you understand what real connection is in the natural, you'll have no problem with real connection with God. You see, when you really love, when you really are connected on that heart, that mind, and that soul level with a person, you anticipate their needs. See, when a woman has a man who genuinely loves her from that level, she never has to ask. He is always, do you need anything? Is there anything I can do?
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
10117P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and broadcast television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Want to hear more of Bishop Lambert? Now you can access recent sermons preached by Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. from your computer and mobile device. Just visit ericlambertministries.com. EricLambertMinistries.com is updated each week with the most recent sermons preached by Bishop Lambert right after our 7:30 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Sunday services. Purchase and download these uplifting messages so you can listen to the Word of God wherever you go. So visit EricLambertMinistries.com and add to your digital library today.